Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Welcome.
I do look good. Sorry. Hi.
You do look good. Gretchen got a new camera, people. Welcome, Housewives of True Crime, Monday edition.
Monday. I should have combed my hair, though. How?
Good.
Oh. Looking good. Feeling good. Liking myself in the new lens.
Yes. Also, and you did your makeup. It's good.
Oh, you know, I put on the dark lipstick. You know, I don't usually do that.
Oh, looks good on you. Yeah.
Little color. But, you know, something came over me. I'll tell you what. I
know what.
I ordered some sunglasses. Are you going to do a that's what she said thing?
No, I wasn't. I was okay. Going to say it's because on Patreon we were talking about emos.
Oh.
So I thought that got in your head. You want to take it dark.
Take it dark. Okay. Yeah. Feeling very dark. No, I ordered some sunglasses because I lost mine. And I found them, actually. But I order my sunglasses usually from the Nordstrom's Rack. Because that's where you get the best deals, right? You know? And I just wanted a plain pair of, like, tortoise shell, you know, everyday sunglasses.
Whatever, yeah.
And that's what I thought these were. And then this is what I got. Don't they make me look smart?
I
didn't realize the gradient made you look like sophisticated.
Oh,
that's how
right.
I feel when I put them on. So then I'm like, maybe I'm going to put the dark lipstick on too and double down on
when I get my eyelid surgery, everybody's going to know because I'm going to be wearing sunglasses like that when I do the podcast. So if you watch on YouTube,
I can mail these to you. You can.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Because I don't get that sophisticated every day.
I will tell you, I get my sunglasses from Quay on there.
Those are good.
Get one free.
Yeah.
That's when I do it. And every once in a while, they'll have that deal. And they're good because they're like not crazy expensive. But once you get the like deal, then it's like a very good deal. So, and they're cute. So I like
those.
And
you need, I am the kind of girl that needs like, I need 20 sunglasses.
Couple
because
pairs.
I need one in every purse. Yeah. So they need to be inexpensive because I'd be losing them all the time.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we just got a message from one of our listeners, Ashley Kelly. And she wanted to tell us that she knows about the bridge. Okay. So you guys remember on last week's episode, I told you I was taking Kyla on the ghost tour. And we talked all about it on Patreon. So if you are interested, just either go to patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime or you can join the Clink Clink Club on Apple and you can hear all about the ghost tour. But anyways, she knew all about the bridge that I took Kyla to. It's called Goatman's Bridge. It might be called something else, but that's what it's known for the goat man. And she has all this folklore about it. And she knew she went there as a kid growing up in high school. Her friend actually jumped off the bridge and broke both of his ankles like an idiot.
That doesn't sound smart.
Well, It's obviously not. It's not. The water is super shallow, I'm sure. So yeah, not smart. Don't do that. Buyers beware.
Okay.
But yeah, so my ghost, if you want to know more about it, it was really good. But oh, I said, I'm really sorry. Her name is Allison Kelly. And I said, Ashley, and I'm really, really, really sorry.
Yeah, you're the worst.
Because you also know her because we met her at the Ritz-Carlton. And she bought us a tequila.
Oh my God. Of course.
Remember?
What's up, Allison? Yeah. I hope to run into you at the Ritz-Carlton again. That would be fun.
Cool. Yeah, if we ever go to the Ritz-Carlton.
Or anywhere. Or anywhere.
I know. And she's a great supporter. She bought some of our merch, and we do have that
God
live.
Bless
if
it.
You guys are still interested and you need a Christmas present, go to housewivesoftruecrime.com and go to our merch section. Enough business. What's going on?
Enough business. Well, I did want to tell you, did you notice, back to my appearance, I'm feeling really into myself today. Did you notice my eyebrows?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Did you do them yourself or not?
No, I went to a place.
And you got them done.
I went to a place. I got them done and tinted. And I think I look normal now. So it's okay.
Oh, yeah. First, it's like
it's a couple of days. Yeah. Uh-huh. And my daughter Ruby felt the need to tell everyone that, like, doesn't my mom look like Bigfoot? Like, the first time she said it, it was funny, you know?
Yeah.
And then I laughed. So then she kept telling everyone, like, look at my mom. She looks like Bigfoot. She's got something going on with her eyebrows.
Oh, no.
But I think they're normal
it'll
now.
Fade.
So I'm really,
on camera,
I'm into it.
It looks better. Anyways. You know, that's why these girls, when you see them and they have like all this makeup on and then you see their Instagram, they look real good because it's like the bigger, the better on Instagram or whatever, TikTok.
Well, I guess so, right? But you know, I asked this bitch that did my eyebrows because hers were perfect.
Okay.
I said, well, what do you have going on? And she's like, oh, I just pencil them in.
Oh,
I'm like,
what the hell?
Well, why don't you just give me a pencil lesson? Okay.
Yeah, right.
Mine Although are I probably can never do it. It's like trying to do the cat eyes or something. You
why?
Know?
Why didn't
I'm
you have?
I'm never
going
to be that girl.
Well,
to do
I'm
it.
Too old to be that girl. But
because you did it and you looked weird, and I got side texts from people saying, "Yeah, Tab looks weird." Yeah.
When?
So I don't want to do that. When you got yours laminated.
Oh well, I got messages from all you lovely people out there and they liked it.
They did? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they look great now at the moment.
I mean, yeah. The people that are side texting you are from like the 1999 eyebrows, which is what I got going on now.
Oh, a little over-tweezed.
You know.
Yeah.
No, it's like, got to get with the times. All right. Are we ready to...
We are ready. I do just want to do one thing. One of the listeners that has been like one of our favorite
OG,
longtime OG listeners. Okay. She
Audrey.
Is going, Audrey Elizabeth. Okay. I mean, she used to have a friend. We don't need to talk about him anymore, but he was fun too. Okay. Remember he did that video?
He did. Yes.
But I think she's had a couple friends since him. Whatever.
Okay.
You know. Girl after our own heart.
She's,
you know,
by the way,
love
she's
them
a
and
disco
leave them.
Biscuit.
She totally
disco
is.
Biscuit.
She loves, we are Facebook friends and friends in my head. She loves kids and animals. That's basically what I need in a friend the most. And she's going through it. Girlfriend had brain surgery. So we, you know, we're rooting for you and hope you get better, you know, healing,
all
safe
of,
healing and all of it. Like
totally.
Real soon. Love you too much.
All of it.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, all of our thoughts and prayers go out to you, Audrey. Okay.
Okay.
Now let's talk about what we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
All right. This week's episode comes out of Bakersfield, California.
What?
This case. Yeah. You know Bakersfield?
I do.
This case has been garnering a lot of attention because there is a long form podcast that just launched called Bakersfield 3. It's hosted by a reporter named Olivia Levice. It's 15 episodes. It goes over a lot of detail. So if you after today need to know more, then pop over there and take a listen. You'll get a lot of, you'll get in the nitty gritty. Okay.
Okay.
I will be wrapping this tangled case up, or cases, should I say, in less than an hour. So let's just get back to Bakersfield, the place that we've all been if you live in California and travel to Northern California.
Because it's kind of in the middle. You can't avoid it. Yeah.
You really can't. Some people call it the armpit of California. Yes, for probably more ways than one, but it's a good
place. Bakersfield is on the come up, dude. I think it's affordable living. It's close to several lakes. I think it's probably actually not the worst place to live.
I would agree with you. I would say it was in the come up for a while, but then it had, like, in the 2000s, lots of people went and bought houses there, right? Because it was super cheap in the early 2000s, what I'm saying. It was super cheap, and it was when that time where you could buy a house without any down payment. Mm-hmm. So you could get a brand new house in Bakersfield, have no down payment, and a pretty small payment, you know, like house payment. But then you would need to refi in 10 years, all that bullshit. So a bunch of people foreclosed after that in Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. The population did increase, like, a lot. In 2000, I think it was 245,000 people there. Now there's over 400,000 people there. So
damn, that's big.
Yeah, it's big. It's really big. It's crazy big.
That's one stinky pit.
And when we talk about these people, you're going to think it's even stinkier. I'll just tell you.
Oh boy.
So Bakersfield, like any city, has, like, it's really nice parts. It's got some of it hard parts, and it's got some really low parts. It's a working class town. Lots of agricultural people live in Bakersfield. The climate is hot. It's really hot in the summer. So that's enough about Bakersfield. Now you guys kind of get an idea if you have never been there. It's also, let me just tell you, it is in California, but I think the closest ocean is, it's got to be like Pismo Beach, and that's 5 hours away, maybe, or something like that.
Don't you think? Yeah, because it's in a weird spot. Yeah.
Yeah, it's in a weird spot. Okay.
Isn't it where, like, the 5 and the 90?
Yes. Well, that's like Fresno, but yeah, it's right. It's somewhere around there. Okay. So not long ago, in 2018, to be exact, there was a group of, I would say, friends, but think of them more like a group of people that hung out together. They all had similar interests, and those interests were guns and drugs. This was a tough crowd, a crowd similar to ones that we are actually really familiar with in Ventura, Gretchy. The ones that we both wanted to stay away from.
Mm-hmm.
This type of crowd, for some reason, does lure people in. Like we also saw, like, there is something about this, like, tough guy persona that girls like. And there's also something about this tough guy. Yeah, right. I mean, everybody, not everybody, but listen, there's a lot of girls, myself included, when I was really young, that thought that tough guy was the guy that I wanted. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I quickly got my head on straight. But
smart guys, that's where it's at.
Yes, 100%. But that tough guy persona also lures dudes in too. Like, they want to aspire to be this, which is bananas to me. But in this group of friends, within a month, two of them would go missing and one would be murdered. And at the time, none tied to one another. But you are probably thinking, like many and mostly the mothers of these three people, something wasn't adding up. You got three cases with three people that knew each other in a month happening. So they were thinking, someone knows what, who, why, but no one was talking. So let's talk about who these three people that went missing and murdered are. Let's start with James Kuhlstad. James was a 38-year-old surfer, skateboarder, free-spirited man. He grew up in Bakersfield, then he moved to San Diego, which honestly fit his vibe better. He looks a part of, like, a San Diego guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They have a look. those surfer types. And he had that look. He loved surfing, skateboarding, and gambling. He loved gambling so much so that he had a nickname of Joe Vegas, which is funny. That's what we call my uncle sometimes.
Well, it is. You know, I mean, it was probably, when did this happen?
2018.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, remember, I mean, what happened to Joe Mama? That used to be like a
Joe
thing.
Joe Mama. Like a
Joe Mama.
Joe Mama.
That was like the punchline to every, to yeah. every joke. Yeah.
True. No. He was living in San Diego after high school and into his 30s. Okay. So like, you and I probably ran into this guy at some
probably
point.
Moose McGill at Cuddy's. I spent a lot of time in San Diego.
Yes. Yes. He seems like the guy, one of the guys that we would hang out with. He was handsome. He had these huge blue eyes. He had his life together. He was had this entrepreneur heart. He was like always thinking about new ideas. He actually got one of his ideas patented, which, dude, is not easy to do. He had this idea of putting special wheels or some sort of wheel on the skateboard that made it spark like extra when you were like doing rails,
oh,
which
shoot.
Super cool. He also created a bib that would catch food after his daughter was born. So he had a kid, by the way, really young, like I think when he was about 20, with a fiance, and this little baby's mama would actually die in a car accident, I think, when she was just like 16 months old. So leaving James as a single dad, and the daughter was raised by the grandparents, but really had a close relationship with James. James would eventually move back to Bakersfield after he got in a car accident in San Diego. James was in bad shape from this car accident, and the doctor prescribed him some pain pills. James's mom thinks that this is the beginning of the end for James. From pills, James went to harder drugs and eventually doing heroin. And
that's usually how it
like
goes.
We talked about recently, life kind of spirals out of control when you get into heroin. We were kind of talking about if you could, remember we were talking about if you could like dabble in it and like still keep it together.
Yeah, but sadly, that is a story we've heard before from people from like our hometown, like a million times.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Starts with a prescription, evolves, once heroin's in it, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if they make it that far.
Right. Yeah. So this one time hardworking entrepreneur couldn't hold a job, lost his apartment, and from there he moved back to Bakersfield, where his brother Ryan lived. Ryan also was not on the straight and narrow at the time, which I don't think helped James at all, right, with his issues. In Bakersfield, Ryan ran with this really tough crowd, and I can imagine introducing James to his new group of homies didn't do James any good. James really just turned into a different person, which drugs will do it to you. On a night in April 2018, James would head to this guy's house that was a known drug dealer, gunslinger, and possibly other things, as well as a chiropractor. Okay. I don't know how all that goes together, but this chiropractor was not a good dude.
Cracking
in more ways than one. When James left this so-called chiropractor's home, a silver sedan pulled up next to James's car and began to shoot. James's brother just happened to be a street over and heard gunshots and drove straight over to the chiropractor's house. When he got there, he saw his brother stumbling out of the car, and he eventually collapsed in his brother's arms and succumbed to his bullet wounds. But no one knew what happened. Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year's special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done, like get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor's been bugging me about, get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because trust and will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC. Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
This was not the neighborhood that had drive-bys. It was a really nice neighborhood in a nice part of Bakersfield. This is not, you know, it's not the hood. Mm-hmm. Police showed up at the scene, and besides a silver sedan, that's what people said they saw, no one had any information about any of it. No one was talking. And I can imagine that this crowd takes the approach of snitches get stitches.
Word.
Or more like a dirt nap. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So unless people wanted to talk, James's unfortunate death was really a mystery. With James's mystery came another mystery that actually happened before James's murder. One of James's friends was reported missing not even 2 weeks before James's death. His name was Micah Hosenbaek. Micah was a 34-year-old military veteran. Micah seemed to also have it together in his early adulthood. He joined the military, served until he had this tumor in his throat that wouldn't go away, and he kept having to have multiple surgeries to get it out, and he had to leave the military. But when he had these surgeries, what comes with surgery, Gretchie?
Prescriptions.
Prescription pain pills. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
These pain pills, I mean, are the death of some people. Not you, Gretchie, but some people can't handle them. Micah had to not insinuating anything. I'm just saying. Okay, so after Micah left the military, he got a job at a bank and then worked his way all the way to becoming a financial advisor at Merrill Lynch, which was a real, I mean, seems like a real good job, dude. It does, right? But the drug addiction crept its ugly head in every aspect of Micah's life. And like James, he would eventually lose his job and resort to nefarious activity for money and drugs. Micah actually began building guns for a guy named Matt Queen. I think he built these guns for like probably just drugs, maybe some money, but mostly drugs. Matt and Micah would then sell these guns illegally. I mean, not a real good life choice, if I was to say so myself.
You should get into projection mapping or something else. Better hobby. Building guns?
Totally.
That seems complicated. How lucrative can that be?
It's probably very lucrative, and it's probably very illegal and will land your ass in jail. Obby.
Yeah.
I mean, projection mapping, maybe you can like hawk that off in the wintertime or something to people. It is a better use of your time, though, I would agree. Okay, so Micah, in the weeks before his disappearance, he actually started acting real shifty. His parents would say that he was paranoid and asking for rides all the time to bad places in town and saying that people were after him. But they chalked it up to Michael being on drugs, which happens, right? Like people on drugs get paranoid a lot.
Yeah.
But maybe Michael's paranoia was actually legit paranoia, like he should have been, because when Michael didn't show up on Easter or even call his mom, she knew something wasn't right. So she reported him missing. Micah, being in his mid-30s, male, white guy, he is not the first person on police's radar to go look after. They're just like, yeah, he probably skipped town. You know, like you say he was paranoid. He probably had somebody after him. He's taking a little break.
They probably took one look at him. They're like, he looks tough. Missing guy in his 30s. We're talking about Bakersfield. Probably happens every day.
Yeah.
They're like, he probably went to Vegas. So, he'll be back.
Totally.
He's on a run.
It is. Isn't it on the way to Vegas? Or no, that's Barstow. Is on the way to Vegas. Well, it probably is on the way to Vegas.
However, another, like,
if you're leaving,
destination
in the middle. It's like, you know, it's like where you get gas. It's where you get gas. Okay, that's
a strawberry milkshake at the Mad Greek. It's a good time.
Totally. Yeah. Right. Okay. So a month after Micah went missing, another girl that ran in their circle also went missing, named Bailey Despot. Micah's family would connect these dots when seeing a missing person flyer for Bailey, and they were asking around for Micah. Micah was actually good friends with Bailey. Bailey Despot was a 20-year-old, absolutely gorgeous girl who was also hanging out with the wrong crowd. We, like I said earlier, saw this a lot in Ventura. These like real cute young girls with these like old
trouble.
Wrong crowd trouble.
Old Mr. Yes. Troubles.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Jeez. So Bailey gravitated towards this tough guy and this like tough guy mentality. And she took on this tough girl mentality too. She sleeved her arms up with tattoos and took on the attitude of like, no one's going to fuck with me. But we all know with that attitude, there's something like deeper and softer that people are trying to cover up, you know? Bailey really went off the rails in her later teen years, but up until then, she was an animal-loving 4-H club country girl. After high school,
cool. 4-H rocks.
I know. Like, couldn't you kept that road going, girl? Mm-hmm. After high school, she went to Vegas to marry her abusive boyfriend, which didn't last too long, thankfully. Mm. She started hanging out with the wrong crowd and doing drugs. Bailey would oftentimes get in cars with random people. She would stay out for days. When her family would try to stop her from getting into these cars, she would say she had to do it. No one said what she was doing. They weren't really sure what she was doing, but we can imagine it was nothing good. Bailey got an even tougher attitude when one of these guys that picked her up brought her back after a couple days, and she had told her mom that she was drugged and gang raped. According to her mother, she really changed after that, like, which I can imagine anybody would.
Yeah.
At the time of Bailey's disappearance, she was living with a guy that was more than twice her age. He was also still living with his ex-wife and their kid. So,
well, that's complicated.
Real bizarre situation. Messy. I mean, if I was the ex-wife and my 43-year-old husband was bringing home a 20-year-old chick,
with me and my four-year-old kid,
not happening in a, in a million years. Mm-mm. So Bailey's 43-year-old boyfriend was this gun-slinging, drug-selling, real stand-up piece of shit named Matt Queen. That's the same Matt that Micah was building guns for.
Okay.
Okay. Matt would claim he saw Bailey for the last time on April 25th after she said that she just had to leave and get away from it all. And Bailey's mom, Jane, also had her mama instincts and said, I don't think so. Something's not right with this situation. Bailey was too close to her mom to just get up and leave and never, ever return. Never return a phone call. Never call anybody ever again. So now you have these three cases all kind of tied to this drug and gun ring circuit of Bakersfield. Two of these cases were the disappearance ones, had ties to Matt Queen. So let's talk about Matt for a minute.
Okay.
Matt, he's a 43-year-old guy that made his money selling drugs and making and selling illegal guns, like big, scary ones, scratchy, like assault rifles. I can imagine all these guns were used for nothing good.
I can't imagine it. It's like, what are you doing with those?
I don't know. I mean, I know what he was doing.
I think they're just attached to like having them or something. It just is like crazy to me. How do you run an apartment when that is your profession? How do you, I mean, does no one check references?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't get how you like roll through life without, like, what's your cover?
Well, he must have had his ex-wife. That's why he was living with his ex-wife still, probably. She must have had a cleaner record.
It's probably not
him.
That lucrative. You're just lazy. You don't want to get a job.
Well,
job.
Listen, 100% he didn't want to get a job. This guy, I mean, he was one of those guys. Me and you know these guys, okay? He's like, don't fuck with me. Don't mess with me. He would text people shit like that. He wanted to come off like he was the hardest, baddest ass guy out there. It was reported that he was abusive and controlling with Bailey. He did not want her to have any social media. And she did have social media, so he kind of managed it. You know what I'm saying? He had all the passwords and went on and made sure he knew what she was doing. He did not want her to have Snapchat, which, you know, even like the police officer was like, dude, she's 20 years old. 20-year-olds have Snapchat.
Yeah.
Not saying it's the best thing, but, you know, it's whatever. He would send text messages to people like, did you forget who I am? Did you forget who you're fucking dealing with here? He also has been known to take people out to the orchards, point guns at them, and threaten to kill them. He took a man down to the river at one point at gunpoint and threatened to blow his head off. He also held some guy up in a parking lot, in a hotel parking lot, with his best friend, Matt Bandacastile, which we'll get to in a minute. So, he's scary. This guy is not someone I would ever want to be associated with.
Yeah. The irony of these types is without their fucking all their friends behind them and their illegal firearms, they're not fucking shit. Right? Like they're not real tough. Yeah.
Yes.
And again,
I think if I could redo the
young years, or if it gets through to one young lady, listen, tough is not long-term sexy. Funny, smart, handy. real long-term sexy. Okay.
You know, it's interesting because I think that tough guy persona is also the same as like the tough girl persona. There's something real weak under there.
Yeah, totally.
That you're trying to hide.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it doesn't matter. This guy still, he was a really bad guy. Yeah. He also was already in 2018, a convicted felon. So having any type of gun, legal or illegal, he couldn't do.
Right.
I did pull Matt's rap sheet and it goes back real far from like burglary when he was in his early 20s living in Washington State to DUIs, drugs, felony charges. I mean, the dude had like 30 plus things on his rap sheet. So he was a career felon, as they would call them.
Mm-hmm. Listeners, is your child struggling with a specific subject? Do you want to help set them up for success? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how they learn. In my house, my daughter could not wrap her head around ratios in her sixth grade math class, and I was not much help, except for that I put her on IXL and got her set up to do the tutorial on ratios, and it was the boost she needed. IXL is super simple like that because everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. So make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and Housewives of True Crime podcast listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. What I love about Acorns is knowing I am doing something proactive for my future. And it's not a time suck because basically Acorns does the hard part for you so you can give your money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Matt and Bailey actually also got pulled over in December 2017, just a few months before she went missing, and the cops found guns in the car, and Bailey actually took the blame for them and said they were 100% hers, which we know that is a lie. And save her boyfriend's ass, which I find is really disturbing because she's 20 years old. Your boyfriend's 43. Like, this is not a dude acting like a man by any stretch of the imagination, but she's so young. She just doesn't even know yet, you know?
It's confusing when you're young.
I know. Okay. So Jane, Bailey's mom, she knows that something isn't right. She suspects Matt, of course. In her mama heart, she knew Matt knew something, but Matt was not going to talk. All Matt did was harass Jane on Facebook, send her nasty text messages, and taunt her. He really tried to make Jane out like a crazy person, saying that she was obsessed with Bailey and she needed to get over her. It was real bizarre, right? Like, these things were like, she's a mother looking for her child. He's supposed to be a boyfriend. And you would think he would be also like, where is my girlfriend? You know?
Right.
But he wasn't. He even went and took all of her stuff and dropped it off at a friend's house. And when he dropped all of Bailey's belongings at this friend's house, on their Ring camera, they could see when he bent over that he was strapped with a gun, just dropping her stuff off, which, by the way, would land his ass back in jail because, like I said, he's not supposed to have a gun.
I'll bet when he bent over, he saw his crack too. Those types never pull up their pants.
Totally.
Okay.
They pull up their socks, but not their pants.
Word.
Matt also logged into Bailey's Facebook account, which I said that he had the passwords, you know, after she went missing. He ripped down missing persons flyers and made some really odd choices that a concerned boyfriend would not make. He also called fake tips in to get police off his back. Jane, Bailey's mom, wasn't the only one that thought Matt could possibly be involved in Bailey's disappearance. Obviously, police thought so too, but there just wasn't a lot to go on. You know, like there's no body and no cell phone. So, and they don't have like enough to get any information. But also, I can imagine that this scene that they're running in, it doesn't put top priority for investigators to look into. I could be totally
wrong. Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, because I've seen that where it's like, they're like, well, they can just kind of like, they are judged by authorities, right? As like, they've chosen this lifestyle. So they did it to themselves.
Yes.
So we're not going to.
And they're probably, yeah. And they're probably thinking like, yeah, they, like they ran off to Vegas or they're somewhere, you know, like,
yeah,
like, They're, I don't think anybody was thinking they're really dead, but I know the moms were thinking like something is not right. This is not, it is out of character for Bailey to just up and leave, even though she's on drugs and living with a crazy person. But like I said, no body, they don't really do anything. They don't have a lot of evidence. So they kind of just sit and wait and see if something more is to come. And that did happen in July of 2018. A group of kids were playing in the river, the Kern River, and they found a heavy duffel bag that was kind of drifting by. One of the kids pulled it up to shore and they were like, maybe there's money or gold or treasure. But when they opened it up, they found a human hand and arm.
Stop it.
Yeah. Could you imagine if that was your kids?
Dude, my worst camping trip ever was at the Kern River, by the way. And now you just made it. So I double am never going back.
Yeah, there's a lot. So when looking into this case, there's a lot of bodies in the Kern River. A lot. It's like a very, very, very dangerous river.
It is a dangerous river.
Yeah.
Makes me a nervous wreck.
Yeah, it is really dangerous because they say it looks kind of like mellow on the surface, but underneath the water level, it's like crazy. So it takes people out all the time and they can't get up and they die. Or they get murdered and thrown into the river like this case. So this hand, it looked to be an adult male. It was clearly cut off with a saw from the body. It had zip ties around its wrists. There was no way to tell if the cuts were before or after death. But either way, it was bad. Someone intentionally cut someone's arm off and wanted it hidden. It took months to confirm the identity of this arm as DNA testing in Kern County was pretty ancient and they had a backlog DNA that they needed to test. So they were like, it's going to take more than a year to find out who the freak's arm this is, which is crazy to me. And we'll talk about this later, but these three moms eventually got better DNA testing for this county. But when the DNA test finally did come back, it was Micah. It was Micah's arm. Mm-hmm. So Micah Hosenbake was murdered. And that is a devastating moment of realization for his family, right? Because I think when people go missing, you feel like there's hope. There's hope that they're going to find them alive. But And you fear the worst, right? You fear the worst, but you hope for the best. And this was by far the worst case scenario for the Hosenbake family. The three mothers of these three individuals all pulled together. They saw that there were correlations faster than the investigators did. But once the arm was confirmed to be Micah's and it was a murder, the state brought in only one investigator to actually pull all the these three cases together. And it was clear to investigators that Matt Queen was a possible suspect in Bailey's disappearance. So he was looked at pretty closely. They noticed that Matt had started dating a new girl. This new girl ran in the same circle, of course. And this particular girl, her name is Sarah, was previously living and dating Matt Queen's BFF, Matt Vandecastile, the one that I told you about that Matt Queen and him held up somebody in a parking lot of a hotel. Also a real stand-up guy. So Matt Vandecastile, which I'll just call him Matt V, his girlfriend jumped ship after he went to jail for that, holding the person up at the hotel. And she was like, you're going to be in prison for a long time. Your friend Matt Queen hitting on me. So she jumped ship. This investigator kind of noticed that and gets a hunch that maybe, just maybe, Matt B had some jailhouse conversations with Sarah on the phone. And so he listened into hundreds of hours of conversations of Matt B and Sarah to hope to find a missing link.
Interesting.
I know. So Matt B, at one point in their conversation with Sarah, which you can hear on this long podcast, the Olivia Lavoisa's podcast, was Matt finding out that Sarah had been hanging out with Matt Queen. He was pissed, like real pissed. Sarah was like really mild-mannered on the phone and kept saying like, calm down, Matt, it's not like that. And Matt B would be like, I'm going to fucking kill him. You tell Matt Queen I'm going to kill him when I get out of jail. You know, he then started saying, I should just tell it all. I should just tell it all, saying like, I'm sitting behind bars because of other people and because I won't snitch, but I should just confess everything. And then at one point in the conversation, he refers to Micah and tells Sarah, if she isn't careful, she's going to end up in the same place as Micah and Bailey. So at this point, investigators know that Matt B knows something, maybe everything, that happened to both Bailey and Micah. By the time they reviewed these tapes, Matt B had been in jail for months, and Sarah and Matt Queen were fully a couple. They were so much a couple, they were actually having a baby couple.
You know, a lot of, I guess it happens in every like kind of social group, like, but a lot of cross-pollination I find in those particular circles.
Yeah.
In my experience. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I didn't mention this earlier, but supposedly Bailey was also pregnant shortly before she disappeared with Matt Queen's baby. I'm not going to go into the weeds here, but if you want to get in the nitty-gritty, you can go listen to Bakersfield 3 podcast. They'll talk all about it. But from the looks of it, Matt Queen likes to knock up 20-year-old girls. I think it's a good way to control them.
Ooh. Yeah.
Right? That's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're babies. 20-year-olds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You should see how this girl looked at the time. She looked like she was
so diabolical. 14.
So Matt B, the investigators, they pulled him in to talk about what he knew because they knew he knew something. They played him these recordings and they were like, you know, let us know what you know. And with a little elbow grease, some cat and mouse games, and ultimately a betrayal video that they showed Matt B, a gender reveal party that Matt Queen and Sarah had for their baby, got Matt B talking. According to Matt B, The night of March 23rd, Matt McQueen called him to ask if he could use his detached garage. Matt Queen said, "Don't ask me any questions. I just need to come over and I need to use your garage." And Matt B knew at the time that Matt Queen was going to question Micah about a stolen gun that he thought Micah took from him. He thought that Matt was going to take Micah and scare him into confessing. Sounds like some gangster shit to me.
Yeah.
You know, like torture somebody to make them confess. It's fucking scary.
Yeah.
Matt B said yes, he could use his garage, but never saw Micah. He claims he saw Bailey a couple times that night, and she came into the house at one point to get some scissors and then possibly a paring knife. And then finally, the last time he saw her, she came inside to change her clothes. He said that she looked white as a ghost, but did not say anything about what they were doing. When investigators questioned more about what he knew and what happened, he was like, "Well, the only other thing is there was a grease spot in my garage that wasn't there the night before." Investigators went to his garage to test this so-called grease spot, and sure enough, it was Micah's blood. So they questioned Matt B more, like, "Are you telling me that Bailey and Matt Queen both killed Micah and dismembered him in your garage?" And he was like, "Yeah, I think so."
I mean, I know this guy is a stupid douche, but I would give him the benefit of the doubt that he could tell the difference between grease and blood. I would think he would be that smart, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he knew a little bit more than what he was saying. Mm-hmm. I have a sneaking suspicion that he is telling partial truth. Mm-hmm. He said he thinks that Micah and Bailey both that Matt and Bailey both dismembered Micah in his garage and that they worked together doing it. He also said the next day Matt Queen came by, asked him for some help to get rid of something, to which he said no, and Matt Queen went on his way. From that point, he said he really only saw Bailey one time when him, Sarah, Bailey, and Matt Queen went antiquing. And he said Bailey just kind of stayed away from, you know, March 23rd to April 25th when she was last seen. He claims to not know where Bailey is, but from that phone call, it sounds like he thinks she's at the bottom of the river.
Yeah, I mean, is antiquing the new word for swap meeting, or like what gives? Because usually when in between like illegal gum making and like whatever, I don't picture you like antiquing. I feel like people that go antiquing like stop for a tartine or a chai latte. Right. Something totally. Else.
Yeah. Antiquing. Just with saying. A side of heroin. I don't know. I don't know. So this news, by the way, is totally fucking bananas. Okay. Like it's bananas to investigators. I mean, this whole thing puts a whole new twist on this crazy case because now you have Bailey, who is missing, is now a murderer, you know?
Dude, no, I can't imagine some 20-year-old girl having the stomach to be there to help dismember something.
I know.
I just can't. I just can't.
I know, but why would he say she was there if she wasn't?
I know. Well, I mean, yeah.
Why wouldn't he just pin
that? And then maybe if you like had to see that, then you run the fuck away because you're like, oh, scared for life, traumatized.
For your life. Okay, so listen, I do have some theories on this this is a 43-year-old dude that is controlling over you. And I think that you can get into some trouble. Like you can do things that you would never think you would do because you're now scared for your life or what will happen to you. You know, I mean, especially after you see somebody kill somebody, I think you fucking go, holy shit, they're willing to do that to somebody. They're willing to do that to me, you know?
Right.
This case, it gets, you know, investigated a lot before anybody knows anything. Like they don't tell the parents or anything until they have all the evidence that they need to charge somebody for, you know, the murder of Micah. And by 2021, they had enough to charge both Matt Queen and Bailey Despot for the murder, dismemberment, and torture of Micah Hosenbake. Okay, so it's kind of odd because Bailey's missing, right? So,
right.
But she's not considered dead. So that's how they were able to charge her too. This news came as like utter shock to Bailey's mom.
I bet.
All three moms were in shock when this news was presented. You can imagine, like, your daughter that's missing is now being charged with murder. This poor mother, Jane, has to be just beside herself. The three moms by this point had been become incredibly close, like best friends. They had already started a nonprofit. They hosted charity events. They purchased all this equipment for the police department. I mean, they were on a hunt for their children and answers. So you have to think, like, holy shit, now one of the daughters is being charged in another of their friends, their best friend's kid's murder, that it would tear them apart. But luckily
enough,
I think it's tough. They talk about it in this other podcast that it was tough. It's kind of like you don't know what to say, right? And especially Jane being Bailey's mom, she just didn't know what to say to Micah's mom. So it did put a little like wrench in the situation, but Micah's mom actually had thought about that scenario before. Micah was sent a text by Matt Queen of Bailey with a fake gunshot wound to the head and slumped over like she was dead and said something like, "Can you come help me?" According to Matt Queen, Micah showed up and it was just a joke. But a fucking weird joke. Like, mm-hmm. Who does that?
They don't seem very jokey.
Right? It's really super weird. So the thought of Bailey having something to do with this was always kind of in the back of Micah's mom's head. But Bailey's mom was like, that's unthinkable. And she still thinks it's unthinkable. Like you said, like she can't fathom her daughter and most of her friends and even her sister, like they can't fathom her doing something like this. I think we've done enough cases, Gretchy, where we're like, people do shit that you would never, ever, ever expect them to do. Like ever, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I do think that, I mean, if, you know, this is how it happened, then I don't think it happened. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens because these older controlling douchebags, they eat at your soul just a little bit at a time. And yeah. They just push it just a little bit because when she first met him, she probably wouldn't have done something like that if she did, you know? But over time, you just get more and more and more conditioned to deal with it.
Yeah.
Sucks.
So while Bailey has never been found, the thought of her being charged with murder was strange, also because she can't defend herself. And the court just had to go with the prosecution's theory at this point. So before Matt's trial, another bag was recovered from the river. Another reason not to go there, Gretchy. This time it had Micah's skull in it.
Ah.
It was there. Yeah, it was there for years. So it had been badly decomposed, but they could tell that he was killed by like blunt force trauma to the head, which mm-hmm. they suspect was a gunshot wound, but there was no bullet recovered. So they don't know.
Yeah.
What happened. But I mean, and just being that family, like you get kind of pieces of your son here and there. It's got to be so hard.
Yeah.
Matt Queen's trial was just last year in 2022. And of course, Matt V. Vanda Castile got up on the stand to testify for the prosecution because he took a plea deal, which is smart on his part. He said basically exactly what I told you. Others testified for and against Matt Queen. But the shock of it all came when Matt Queen himself decided to testify. He got up on the stand and he was like, I'm going to tell you the true story. So Matt Queen's story of the night is that Micah came over to hang out with him and Bailey. And they were joking around with Micah about this girl that Micah had sex with at one point. Micah supposedly does not like, he has this really like deep desire for women's rights, I guess, and doesn't like the thought of unconsensual sex with women, which I appreciate. Like any dude that doesn't like that, I'm down for it. But this one girl supposedly at one point said that Micah had unconsensual sex with her. And so Bailey and Matt Queen were kind of joking around with him. Well, Micah got real pissed and pulled a gun out on Bailey and was being really erratic. And then that was when Matt Queen started having an altercation with Micah and trying to get the gun away from him. And Bailey dropped a 40-pound weight onto Micah's head, killing him instantly.
Ooh.
So from there, Matt freaked out and called Matt V to use his garage to dismember him because it was Bailey's idea to cut him up and throw him in the ocean.
Okay, that makes sense because she killed him, so she panicked.
I mean, maybe this is what happened. I don't know.
Okay, Bailey did
most of it. I mean, you got to take like...
Yeah. Okay. Great.
This guy's a liar, pants criminal on fire. Yeah. You know, like, I don't know. Yeah. He says that Bailey did most of it, which I can also imagine is not true. Like he says Bailey cut off the guy's head. I don't believe it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I've never been in this situation. Never hope to be in this situation. I don't know what the fuck I would do in this situation. I think I would want to call the police. I mean, I would be like,
that's
holy
what
shit,
you should do. That's what you would do.
And this is like, this was not supposed to happen. This gun came out. I panicked. I threw a weight at him. It accidentally killed him. You know, that's what should have happened.
Yeah. Police and a lawyer. That's what you do.
Yes. Yeah. So Matt says that they chopped him up and then they took him to the desert and discarded his body in the desert, but they realized that they were missing an arm. So they, and I don't know why the head, I know he said there was missing an arm, but maybe they decided to put the head in the water. I don't know, but they went back and threw the head and the arm in the water with rocks in bags so that nobody would find it. He did cry on the stand when he was explaining his actions. His attorney was good. I mean, I can't believe he got on stand. I can imagine that this story was talked about a lot to make his actions less than Bailey's, right? Bailey can't take the stand. Bailey can't defend herself in this. And this now puts Matt Queen as not the murderer. So yeah. I don't know. I don't fully believe this story. He was cross-examined by the prosecution. And I personally think the prosecutor was just not prepared to have this guy on the stand. He talked at Matt Queen, not like to him. And he didn't really ask questions. He just told Matt, like, this is the type of person you are, isn't it? This is who you are. This is why you did this. Instead of like asking him questions and getting him caught up in his own lie, which is really what makes people uncredible. Not somebody just yelling at you how you're a piece of shit, which he is, but he's like standing there like defending himself. Like, I just told you what I did. Like, this is what happened. I'm telling you the truth. But they never questioned him. Like, they never asked questions that would really give some answers, you know? So I think it kind of did
because
the disservice
when you start questioning them, they can't repeat the same story.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. But that is not what the prosecutor did. So I just don't think he was fully prepared. Like, he didn't take enough notes to ever know that Matt Queen's going to say, yes, I'm going to testify. Like, they caught him. They caught the prosecution, like, I think, in like,
they needed the Nancy Grace of Kern County.
Totally. That's who they needed. Oh my God. So much so.
Nancy would question the shit out of you.
They did let Matt Queen, they said, okay, if you're not lying, take us to the desert, show us where you dropped this body and the weight. And Matt took them to the desert and there was no weight there. There was a fragment of a bone that they couldn't make out if it was human or not, but there was not like a full body in the desert. So they came back and he's like, you're a liar. You know, that nobody was out there. The weight wasn't out there. Nothing was in the desert. But like I said, I think he did a disservice to this case, this prosecutor. And at the end of the day, the jury found Matt Queen not guilty of first degree murder.
Shit balls.
But they did find him guilty of second degree murder and kidnapping and torture. So Matt was sentenced to 30 years to life in prison plus 56 years. He does have a parole date of 2044. I think that's the earliest that he can get out. And he did not look so good at the end of his trial. So I don't believe that he's going to live that long. So hopefully he's in jail for the rest of his life. One thing that did come out, Gretchy, at the end, like after the trial, was that that bone fragment was actually Micah's that they found in the desert. So Matt was telling at least partial truth, you know?
Ooh. Yeah.
As for Bailey, she has never been seen or heard from. Matt is adamant that he has had nothing to do with her. He actually does talk on this podcast at the very end, the last episode. He says he has nothing to do with her disappearance, but I would say his behaviors say otherwise. All that crazy shit that he did, I think his credibility is like, in my book, is like zero to negative. Theories are that Bailey couldn't keep a secret and probably was losing her shit after Micah died, which I can imagine I would lose my shit too, and that Matt had to take care of her, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, what is interesting is these types, when it happens, when you're clearly going to spend the rest of your life in prison, right?
Yeah.
Why not just come clean about
all of it? I know. I know.
I guess if you had a moral compass, you wouldn't have landed yourself in the prison in the first place. But I mean, it really is like, finish the story. He knows.
I know. Because he's already trying to like have another trial and all kinds of stuff. Like,
oh, you're delusional, dude.
Yeah.
And you're not getting out on parole either because you got a long ass record.
He has such a record. Yeah. So Bailey's phone, she did text her friend at one point and said, I'm messed up and I'm going to leave and I'm going to disappear. But they think that was probably just Matt Queen texting, you know, after. Mm-hmm. Her friend said it didn't really sound like Bailey. Her Facebook did ping a couple times, but it was from a Samsung phone that matches Matt's phone. There was a weird Polaroid picture of Matt and her, of Matt and Bailey left on Jane's car really early on that said, I love you, Mom. But again, I think that was Matt leaving that there to divert attention. As for James, police now believe that the cases were not related. I mean, you never know. The theory there is that the chiropractor ordered a hit on James. There's some more on that story in this podcast, but the chiropractor is a bad guy. And he did, according to James's brother, tell Ryan, James's brother, to not have James come over because I guess this chiropractor owed James money for something and James was coming to collect. And he was like, I'm going to get my boys after your brother if he comes for me. So I don't know why nothing has been done. I can imagine lots of people know something. Even Ryan, James's brother, I think knows more than he's saying. But, you know, these people are scary and people are scared to talk. Mm-hmm. And so that's why his case is still, you know, unsolved. The Bakersfield Three moms have done a ton of good for their community. They funded this service called secret witness, which is a line that can be contacted, and you get rewards for tips on these murder cases. The number is 661-322-4040. If you have any information on Bailey or James, you reach out. It's like nobody knows, and you can get some reward money, and nobody would know it was you that called. So if you're listening and you know what happened and you need some money for drugs, call this number. The three moms are really still on a mission for good. So I just want to tell you also about Sarah, Matt Queen's baby mama.
Okay.
She had the baby. She is now 26 years old. She lives in Bakersfield. She is absolutely gorgeous. Like, I was like, why are you using your good looks on this fucking losers? Like, she is so cute, and she is dating like 43-year-old disgusting Matt Queen. No, thank you. But she has tattooed herself. She's got a big tattoo across her stomach. I couldn't see the name of it, but it's like somebody's name. I'm really hoping it's her kid's name and not
Matt Queen's
name.
You're kind of tattoo shaming in this, and let's make it clear.
I love tattoos.
It
I
is
have
not
a
big
tattoo.
Deal. Yeah, you have a tattoo.
I'm just saying that, listen, I think she's
everybody
beautiful
has tattoos now.
Yeah, listen. I don't care about tattoos. Tattoos are great. Yeah. I want to get more tattoos. But I'm just saying she tattooed herself like after this baby. Okay. I'm not tattoo shaming.
I think you maybe keep them off your face. That's
although
a line.
Jelly Roll has them on his face and he has some good music. Okay.
Oh, well, obviously
I do think
Post
it
Malone
sounded
too,
like
but
I was tattoo shaming.
Listen,
but
unless you have a lot of musical talent, I recommend keeping the tattoos off your face. But, you know, lots of people. I have a good friend here who's got her whole damn leg.
I know she's tattooed. Hot too. Listen,
and it's so fucking hot. Except when we go to the beach, she has to like put a towel over it because it's like the sun burns it or
lame.
Something. Yeah.
This girl is hot with or without tattoos. I don't know. The stomach tattoo. I'm like, if you ever have another baby, girl, like, I just don't want to bring attention to my stomach after having three children, if you know what I mean.
Mm-mm.
She has a very small rap sheet. Like, she was arrested for a controlled substance before meeting Matt when she was real young. And then there's the ex, Vanda Castile. He was sentenced to 4 years in prison. He was up for parole in February of this year, 2023, but it was denied because his rap sheet, Gretchy, is longer than Queen's, from like robbery, guns, drugs, real scary stuff. I hope he's getting some help and rehabilitation in prison, because he will get out. He is still going to be on the streets of our society. So my advice to him is to move out of Bakersfield, start your life over, and get a moral compass. Also,
good
I
advice.
Think that the whole ultimate overall moral of this story is, do you know what it is today?
Don't cheat. That's usually what it is.
It's usually that. But
I was wondering,
time,
I was like, did I miss something? What is it?
This time, it's say no to drugs, people.
Oh, say no to drugs. Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I recommend.
All right. So that's a WAP of today. Sorry, it's a little long, but it's three cases in one. So I knew it was going to be more than an hour, but just a bit, just a tad bit. Thank you all for listening. Please, please, please give us a Christmas present by rating and reviewing our podcast if you have not done so yet. And tell your friends about us, please. Just text them right now, being like, hey, I just listened to this really good podcast. I think you will like it. And send them our link, and they will thank you forever. And I think that's all.
Okay.
All right. Clink, clink.
Clinky, clink.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close.
trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.